Greetings, salutations. How you doing? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Friday morning. Welcome to the weekend with Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this 22nd day of May 2020. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. And, stop me if you've heard this before. It's going to be sunny today. Sunny and beautiful with a high of 29 degrees later on. Tomorrow, sunny, 24. For Sunday, partly sunny, 28. And the outlook into next, we might see some showers early part of next week. A few people kind of looking like, maybe we could use a little bit of rain. Things before things become too dry. But it's going to remain warm, warmer than normal, much warmer than normal through at least the mid part of next week. Normal high around this time of year is around 20. And getting into the middle of next week, we'll be back and still up around 30 degrees. So enjoy the heat and, in some cases, humidity. And with that, we say good morning to the super hot Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm good. Looking at the forecast over the weekend, and beauty of that drops down to about 10 degrees. So we got those warm days and cool Canadian nights. I'll take her.
All right. Air conditioning on at anybody's house yet? I see some people on social media going, yeah. Oh, yeah, I had to turn the air conditioning on.
Mine is on, but I'll say it's on pretty low. Haven't been doing the whole window thing at night. Probably should do. That's a pretty good time of year, but at least it's there.
What's the window thing?
Well, having the window open.
Oh,
I'm just saying. There's some transition usually in the spring where, hey, fall especially where it's kind of beautiful. You guys window all the way or any air condo?
I have not found it. And it's funny because I was talking to a couple of guys yesterday and I had to turn my air conditioning on. It was so hot in the house. And I'm like, my house has been good so far.
Mine has. Well, I'm an apartment, but it's been fine.
Maybe it's because I've got trees. Huh? That always helps. Hammer
so
over to you on that
shade.
One. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't have any shade, but I also don't have my AC on.
Yeah.
No, that's
you're
ridiculous.
Like that, though.
Come
you're
on.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Well, people aren't moving around, and all the pollution that we normally have. A lot of factors here. I mean, the world is coming alive again.
Look at you breaking it down.
That's why the difference in the temperatures.
That's why I'm seeing rats run across the Queensway on my drive-in.
And that had to have correlated. If I was the guy that got that speeding ticket last week for 180 clicks, I'd just say, Matt, this big fat rat was chasing me.
Yeah, exactly.
I was trying to get away from the rat.
It's all about staying alive at this point in
time. Listen to the morning show on TSN. They were talking about it.
Yeah, they're chasing us down. The rats are bigger than cars now.
Yeah.
All right. Happy birthday. Well, I'm not sure I want to wish this guy a happy birthday. He's a bit of a troubled soul. But Ted Kaczynski celebrating a birthday today. Ted Kaczynski, of course, from Unabomber fame, is turning 78 years old. He is currently serving life in prison without a chance of parole. You guys saw the what was the name of the series with him? Mindhunter?
Manhunt.
Yeah. Manhunt.
Manhunt, yeah.
Okay. That was really good. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. It was six-parter, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
In the end, it was his brother, right? That was basically
kinda
stepped
turned,
up and realized.
Yeah.
A whole different world that we're living in, though, right? The ability to track communication now, to imagine the space of what went on with him. And I can't remember. It's a timeline about 20 years in between the beginning of
it was
his,
a long time,
It really was. And those crazy old movie things where you take pieces of the newspaper and make letters and mail them to different people. That was hard to find, hard to trace, and a little different world that we live in now.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of good things to watch on TV, if you haven't watched that one before. Sorry, that was Mindhunter?
Manhunt.
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 There's a Mindhunter as well, too, right?
Is that a Netflix series about other
serial killers? Something like that. Yeah, I always get them mixed up.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Today on Crave, you've probably heard the promo a million times here in the station, The Joker. You have not not go out to the movie theater. And have not rented it, and you haven't seen it yet, highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix is unbelievable as the Joker. I always thought that it began and ended with, who am I gapping on now? Last guy to play.
Heath Ledger?
Yeah, Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
I think that Joaquin Phoenix, boy, I am if he even goes a step beyond Heath. I'll call them even.
Yeah.
I'll call them even. Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't, it'll be a little something to watch. Huge fan of his, and from an acting component, God, you think to how popular his brother was in River Phoenix. I guess the peak of his career, unfortunately passing away, would have been Stand By Me. Was going to be a future star. What are you going to do? They have a crazy family story. They kind of arrived in L.A. living out of a car. His in Gladiator took on a role of, he just had the ability to take you into whatever character. actor. So yeah, give me a little something to watch. Last night I had to hunker down, which I actually enjoyed. Watched old Rocky 2. It was on TSN. And
I thought it was Rocky 3.
I hope not. I thought it was 2. Okay. Unless they played both of them. This is the rematch, though. And maybe the emotional state I'm in, I found it riveting. And actually,
riveting?
No, I really enjoyed it.
You knew
it.
How it ended.
I know, but I do. For whatever reason, old Mick there was such a great actor. I think he was in the original of Mice and Men was one of his first roles, but he is so good. And come on, like Apollo Creed, look at that body. Talk about throwing them. Like, man, the guy's an absolute natural before becoming, what was the golf movie he ended up being in later?
Happy Gilmore. Yeah, it was fantastic in that.
Alligator.
And you know what's funny about this? I don't know the space in the movies. Paulie's actually in decent shape here. I don't know. He must have really let himself go by the time we got to Rocky V. So that was the extent of my sports movies or sports last night.
Did Paulie make it all the way to Rocky V?
I don't. You know what I
was saying? Is that the Tommy Morrison one where they have a street fight?
Yeah, Tommy the Gun, who passed away in 2013 from AIDS. And did the son in the movie not pass away as well? I think Paulie. Well, you can't get rid of Paulie. He has that crazy scene where he goes bonkers as Santa Claus. Is that number 3? Where he's not happy about Rocky getting all the attention, and he comes in hammered, dressed as Santa Claus, and throws a liquor bottle. So anyways, we don't need a review of the Rocky movies. It is on TSN, and if it's on TSN. I do find it funny, though, is that, first of all, Rocky has a statue for a fictitious people. Like, I think most people think this guy's real. And the odd time on Facebook, I'll see people that quote Rocky, and I'm like, who the hell would be quoting this guy? First of all, he's not a real person. He's dumber than a sack of hammers.
It's inspirational.
It's not, though. Exactly.
If you're not moving forward or whatever.
Well, and in that one last night, that's where Mick starts throwing the, you're going to eat lightning and come up with, I think people.
Crap thunder.
Yeah, a lot of people come up with different phrases, right? Hey, you're going to eat nails and crap bullets. Hey,
All right, we began with the Joker and ended with Rocky somehow. Follow the Simmer mind meld.
They're both classics.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What were you guys up to last night?
Well, I had a golf game, so I was out late.
Nice.
Yep.
How was that?
Wrapped her up at teed off
hole 18,
4:12.
Yep,
and finished her up at 8:24. So it was all
plenty
good.
Of time.
Oh yeah, probably could have had it. Yeah, it was probably another 10-15 minutes of late.
Yeah. How'd you hit him?
You know what? Good at the start. I'm still good at the start. Struggling with the finish. I think fitness may be an issue. Not quite sure. My mind starts to wander. Yeah. And then as soon as I start hitting them a little bit crazy, it's like, okay, I'd rather
wrap it up.
Done. You know what? And it goes back to my theory. And I know money is tight for everybody, but I'm still looking for investors in my 18-hole or my 14-hole golf course idea.
All right.
14 holes is absolutely perfect. Or 3 sixes.
Yeah.
All right. That is the ultimate. So then you can, if you want to play like you want to play for like an hour and 10 minutes,
no,
right? 6 holes.
Yeah.
Right. 12 holes is perfect for a lot of people. Yeah. 18, if you're an old school, you'd like to play your full game of golf or whatever. 3 sixes. They all lead back to the clubhouse, which someday may be open again.
Yeah.
But I cannot find enough people to invest in my.
You know, you could just walk off the course after 14
But you're
holes.
Far away from the club. Yeah, you're far away from your car.
It doesn't feel the same. Yeah. And you get to 9, you kind of want to play a couple of more. I think the 12 would be perfect. You do that with 3 sixes.
We actually have a pretty good thing at Kanata Golf Course where for the back 9, you can use, so you finish your front 9, 10 and 11 kind of go out to a certain part, and then you go across the road, and then you're into a back section, or you can just jump right across from 11 over to 17 and 17 and 18.
Yeah.
So that's what's called the loop. Yeah. That's nice. That's a nice little 13-holer right there.
Well, and you end up having a bunch of golf courses, even mentally, where it's strange, where you tee off on 10, right? Now you finish the back 9, get a couple of holes in, you're good to go. I don't think it's a bad idea. And the biggest thing you'd have to do to try to sell this, because I'm sure you've got lots of investors, including JJ and other people there, Yorkie probably get in.
Simmer now, too.
You got to start selling just mentally. You can have a 12, and you start developing handicaps for 12, because it's hard for somebody to get their head around on. It's either what I shot on the 9, front or back, and it always goes back to what my handicap is on 18. So you start pushing the whole 12-hole handicap, and I think you can sell that bad boy.
Okay. Right? All right. Glad to see you're on board. You got any money, though?
No.
You're talking a big game.
You can present the idea.
No, I'm kind of a Howard Baldwin.
Okay. Welcome to John Spano, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Although I don't think he even had other people's money. He just lied. Howard Baldwin was a master of spending other people's money, where the Spano one, that is a fun documentary when he kept sending the whatever the wires of money, and it was supposed to be $20 million.
Oh my
and
God.
He sent $20.
Like, how do you get sucked into that?
Well,
you
yeah,
know, you're
yeah.
a professional sports organization.
Well, that tells you at the time how bad the owner wanted to get rid of the New York Islanders, and I think the only thing that kept them afloat for the 20 years was whoever was smart enough to get that sports channel deal that they signed. Right. What was a 20-year deal after the 1984 Stanley Cup championship, which at the time I think was around $3 or $4 million, which by NHL standards was a lot of cash. That was the only thing that kept that franchise afloat.
So John Spano thing predated Charles Wong.
Oh yeah. That's in between.
So who was the guy before John Spano then? Who owned them through the Cup years?
Yeah,
then?
No, I'd have to look that up. But it was a single owner. He's in the documentary. But as I said, it was really just kind of Sports Channel. This kind of intermingles if Spano, because Spano was a big Mike Milbury guy. So whoever I think originally would have hired Milbury, Spano came in. Then it went to Charles Wong. He got turfed, and good old Gar Snow came in, and now they're on to Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, and they're on to whoever the guy's owning it right now. And I believe right the construction of the new rink is on.
It is. Actually, Mr. Ledecky, who is one of the original owners when Ted Leonsis bought the Washington Capitals, I think was in on the Nationals for a while. He is in on that. And they broke ground, but I also think they may have stopped during COVID. But they at least, hey, shovels in the ground.
All right. So if we follow along the conversation trail there, we had the Unabomber, Joker, Rocky 3, 14-hole golf courses, and Howard
12.
Baldwin.
12.
12. And Howard Baldwin.
And finish with the New York Islanders in their new building.
Ladies and gentlemen, all in 9 minutes, huh? You get a lot for what you pay for.
Exactly.
Here on TSN 1200. All right, we'll take a break. 6:16. All right, when we come back, we'll get into the news of the day. We've got a couple of great guests looking forward to a couple of interesting chats coming up. Marco Rossi, voted yesterday as the most valuable player in the Ontario Hockey League, is going to join us, or is scheduled to. We've got, he's living over in Austria, back home in Austria. We're here in Ottawa. We're hoping to make the connection in about a half hour or so with Marco and talk about his big win and plans going forward. Of a guy who's going to be a very, very high draft pick in this summer's or this fall's or whenever it is, NHL draft. So we'll talk to Marco Rossi and Josh Norris. Since super prospect, of course, was voted as an American Hockey League first team All-Star. Josh is going to join us in the show just after 9 o'clock this morning. Pierre McGuire with his usual 8 a.m. visit. So lots of hockey chatter. We'll get into all the news of the day when we come back. It's a Friday morning. We're glad you're with us right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Today and listen to Elton John music. Yeah. Do not watch the Elton John movie.
No, turned it on the weekend. And if you're going to be in charge of a movie about yourself, can you at least find a desirable looking person? Like at least Dr. Fauci said, hey, if they're going to do a movie, I'm going to have Brad Pitt. The fella that played Elton John in the movie, I couldn't even watch it. Had to turn it off. But that is a hammer right there. We talked a couple of weeks ago about Elton John, which era to play. Well, that's just a classic right
now. Oh, yeah. Pre-80. Anything 70s Elton. You're golden.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Again, once you get into Disney and Elton starts singing Disney, then it's done.
No, for sure.
Kind of like Phil Collins. Same way.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back. 6:23. JR Simmer and Hammer. It's a Wrench Throwing Friday. If you're new to the show or new to Wrench Throwing Fridays, the acronym, of course, would be WTF, which normally you think of what the. All right. So that means if it's something that's bothering you, got to get it off your chest. Feel good going into the weekend. That's what we invented Wrench Throwing Friday for. So text us your wrenches at 1200. Caleb writes, wrench to anyone who's getting upset with what is fair or not for the draft and the postseason. Can't please everyone. That's from Caleb.
This didn't impact the game.
Did you say this didn't impact the game?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
There you go. All right. So yeah. Caleb sets the template. 1200 for the wrenches.
Yeah. Interesting. More discussion we had yesterday, the 2014 playoff. And I had thrown out there, do you think the 8 teams that lose in the play-in are going to go back into the draft lottery? And more people kind of commenting on that. And it's just going to be really interesting, even the critique on the top four. So lots of fine-tuning going on with the National Hockey League right now and its Players Association.
All right, so what happened last night was there was a meeting, a conference call with the NHLPA, Players Association, Executive Board, in which they laid out this 24-team playoff plan that we've talked about all week. And it appears like the representatives, the player representatives for each of the 31 teams are in the process of voting, either voted last night, some of them. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to find out apparently by tonight how that vote goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from there, I'm assuming now we're not going to, I think dates will be down the road as far as when hockey might resume. But as you said, the dates are less important. The, hey, let's get a plan in place.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So that when, you know, when they think they can actually play the games, then you're set to go with how it's all going to work.
Yeah, and at least a little bit of a time frame or an idea. We see some of the rinks starting to open, or at least a rink here in Ottawa, guys get skating. When we had Brad Sinopoli on yesterday, any guy will tell you when they went through the lockout, the toughest thing is, and this cycle now, you're not talking about most guys coming off of injury, but how you train and how you mentally prepare yourself, it at least starts to get into your mind that, hey, you know what, I might be sequestered somewhere, might end up going into basically quarantine, you know, an I think for an athlete, just to make that adjustment. And then you get into the finances. What's so different right now versus the era with Bob Gooden now, pre-2004-05? Now you're a partner, and it's so different when the NHLPA sits down with the NHL and understands, hey, we're a 50-50 partner in the business, because a normal mentality previous to that would have been, hey, I've already gotten my money. I really don't even feel like coming back, to be honest with you. So that has set and what I'm sure is a much better working relationship.
Yeah. So, and again, it's a very slow process here, how they're getting through. Also, it's more information than anything.
Yeah.
But again, the plan, if you have not heard, and we've discussed it for most of the week, is this: top four teams, and this is all based on the points percentage at the pause. All right, when the NHL went on pause, points percentage, top four teams in each conference, East and West, are guaranteed to be in the first round of the playoffs, and they would actually play amongst themselves on either side. So three games, and that's for seeding.
Yeah.
All right, and then the next eight teams in each conference would have a play-in series, likely to be a best of five. So five would play 12, 6, 11, 7, 10, 8 versus 9. Four winners of those would join the top four teams, and that's where the first round of the playoffs would be, and then you're into best of sevens right through to a Stanley Cup final. There was a report out last night that suggested the NHL would like from a drop a puck for first game, first play-in game, to giving out Stanley Cup championship to it all be wrapped up in 60 days, 2 months.
Yeah.
I would assume that's part of what they're trying to sell to the players, right? Because
one of
the big things, and we talk, and again, back to Brad Sinopoli, about the idea of hub cities. Hey, if you're going to quarantine me in another city away from my family where I can't see them, period.
Yeah.
Like there's a level, there's a certain amount of time where I can go, and if, 2 months maybe is your max
in terms
of hockey.
Yeah.
So that's why they're looking at that.
Yeah, and what will start out as 24, though, within the first 3 weeks, you're down to 8, right? And when you get into it, you're talking about, hey, really 4 teams in the long haul and 2 that will go to a final. I just wondered if there's the ability as you get to the final 4, if you switch to one city, do you have a small break? And then, hey, this is great to have this idea of this, you know, we're going to put this all together. If you're doing 4 times 7 plus a play-in, boy, oh, boy, stress on your athletes of going every second night. And I know they're in a controlled environment, but that would be a big issue for me. If you can control, hey, forget about the quarantine itself and worrying about COVID-19. But boy, oh boy, I think you're going to
do a shorter series then?
I think I would. I really would. And I just think, and again, I'm looking to the each, you know, and you're talking about, I'll go with the final four, because as I said, your other 20 teams are going to be sent home, you know, a month. That, you know, the old school training camp was around that. It just seems like a lot to me. And I know it's revenue. I know it's games. I just wonder if you're going to run into, you know, an incredible rash of injuries. That's all.
I wonder, though, on the flip side, though, if you're telling a player, hey, listen, you've been off for 4 months. We want you to come back. We want you to train really hard for 3 weeks. Oh, by the way, you may only end up playing 3 to 5 games. I wonder if there's a lot of players that say, listen, you got to get, if you want me to go balls out, you got to give me a best of 7.
Yeah. The problem is, though, 8 of those 24 teams are going to be gone within the first week.
Right.
You know, you're gone. But, and again, there's no perfect system, but you're right. And there'll be just lots of athletes that won't feel that it's the same. Brad, as he talked about, if you got a young family versus a single guy, see what accommodations are like. God, if I can get out and golf every day and I'm a single guy and I can just play some hockey, that's kind of your life. So, hey, nothing's perfect, and you just look through it. I find it intriguing. Also intriguing. Can I throw a wrench hammer, too, at Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens? An opportunity to have...
There you go.
This headline yesterday that comes out about Carey Price, and if Carey Price might be able to steal a playoff series. What playoff series has this guy won? Last time was 5 years ago. They're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. What has Matt Murray done in the last 5 years when healthy? He's won 2 Stanley Cups, so stop it. So anyways, I got that out of my system.
Oh, see? Do you feel better now?
But I just see these headlines that want to grab something like this guy's some, you know, hey, the guy has never won anything. It pertains to the National Hockey League. I know he's a good goaltender. I think there's a bunch of goaltenders. And hey, maybe Pittsburgh doesn't even play Matt Murray in the playoffs. There's a lot of goaltenders to me. If I look at Rast, even Freddie Anderson in Toronto, this will be the interest of the play-in of the best of five. Hey, you got a number of goaltenders that flat out could steal a series for their team as they start to get fine-tuned.
Well, we've got, now you're a former goalie, so let's I'll go down an uncharted road here.
Yeah.
We've spent so much time talking about, well, hey, what are the players going to be like coming back after 4 months? We're talking about goaltenders, right?
Yeah.
What are they going to be like?
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting.
You know, I have no idea. You know, and I'm not talking about being in physical shape, just mentally. Right, to be dialed in right from the start when you've been off the ice for as long as 4 months.
Yeah, and of those initial 16 that are playing the best of five, I think there'll be a few guys, not in a literal sense, but it'll probably take winning that series to check into the hotel. Do you know what I mean? Where they say, okay, maybe I'll give this a go. Or when you start playing it and you're joking around with your buddies, and hey, there'll be teams that'll roll in. And if you're playing every second night, within 6 days, they'll be going home. I mean, that's the reality of it. And hey, you're right, though. There'll be lots of positional players, lots of goaltenders are just like, ah, you're down 2-0. You go into that game three. Do you really want to climb back or you want to climb home?
It's almost like it's kind of like where I'm at with my golf game right now. The idea of me going out and playing golf is very exciting.
Exactly.
Then when I get out there after 12 holes, it's like, okay, I pretty much had enough.
Yeah.
You wonder, in a roundabout way, whether it's the same for these players.
Well, it is. And again, I'll say the Montreal Canadiens, maybe they get Kotkaniemi and Romanov's eligible to play. You get these young players. I would personally just put as many young players as I can. But there's lots of guys, as you said, that'll kind of arrive there. You start skating around in warm-up with the tunes going. You're talking to your buddies on the other team.
Checking the flow.
Now the game starts, and there's nobody in the building. And you're kind of laughing, and you're playing. And, hey, that's going to take some, you know, a mental adjustment for any of the guys to get their head around.
You mentioned off the top that we saw some people, including some NHLers, out on the ice here in Ottawa yesterday. We talked to Scott Lark from the Minto Skating Club, which is privately owned. Well, they opened up for business yesterday. 14 hours of ice time, so, you know, each rented out to a maximum of 5 people for an hour each. And lo and behold, who showed up but Philadelphia Flyers captain Claude Giroux?
I think it's the only rink available here in Ottawa. And when I got the call that we're good to go and we can get on the ice to kind of start skating, you know, you just want to go out there and see how you feel. It's not too bad with the skates we have. It's kind of skill work. It's not really battles, so it won't be too hard, but it's something that we have to remind ourselves for sure.
There you go. There are a lot of OHLers and a lot of kids that play in like tier 2, etc., out on the ice, and then just some dads with their kids as well, and it's booked solid for at least the first 2 weeks, 7 in the morning until 9 at night.
Yeah, and for a guy like Claude Giroux, mentioned again, young family, but he's a guy that keeps himself in great shape. He is at that mature age where, you know what, you hop on, you give him a couple of weeks to skate, probably be in a pretty good spot. The question, I guess, is just when you really rev up the engine, and no matter what that best of five ends up being, or the play-in, or the best of three, sorry, for the top guys, it's still different, because as we look at the National Hockey League, we talk about this all the time. It's a short preseason now, but I've been skating for a month. First 20 games, the veterans are finding their way. Second 20, it revs up. And we always talk post-All-Star break, just how different the NHL is. Well, that's not going to be the case this time. And that, to me, this is your thing. Well, like we see this with guys with injuries, right? You feel great. Well, all of a sudden you get into a game, and everything that you did in practice, you re-injure yourself. So it's going to be hard for guys to get into that kind of optimum spot physically.
All right. So as we said off the top, sounds like by tonight we'll know the results of the NHLPA's thoughts on this return to play plan of the 2014 playoff. I have a hard time, Simmer, thinking that it's going to get voted down, right?
I would assume.
And what is it? Does it have to be just, 50% plus one, or does it have to be 75% unanimous?
I have no idea. I don't know. I know that as I said, the partnership mentality is just so different for the players now. But is this, I'd be curious, and I don't think so. But in the case of the entry draft, that's a league decision on its own, because technically, I know it sounds funny, none of the players being drafted are part of the Players Association.
Right.
So that's something they could turn around and do. And I really, if you're a Sens fan, and you could turn this into a positive, somebody did yesterday on Twitter, I really think they'll go to a 15-team lottery, and they'll do that maybe after the play-in, But as it pertains to, say, the New York Islanders, they could lose out in that first round, be back in the lottery, and maybe you're getting a little better pick if you're Ottawa.
Yeah. Right now, that Islander pick, by my calculation, sits at 21 if they never came back and played hockey again. And by my calculation, if they go with the maximum you could do is move up four spots, then it could be as high as 11.
Yeah, so, exactly.
By the way, I've kind of calculated.
No, but imagine that if you're Ottawa, right? Yeah. Hey,
that 10-pick swing is huge.
Well, oh, gosh. Like, seriously, you're sitting on four in the second round, a two, a three, and an 11? My, oh, my. Yeah, that would be exciting for Sens fans.
All right, thoughts on any of that? Always welcome. Text us, 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN 1200. Phone line's always open, 750-1200. Don't forget, we're scheduled to be joined by the most valuable player in the Ontario Hockey League, Marco Rossi of the 67s. He's over back home in Austria. We're hoping to talk and hook up with Marco in about 15 minutes or so as we roll on here on a sunny Friday morning. Glad you're with us on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Warmest day this year. Today should supplant yesterday when we got up to 24.8, where it might get all the way up to 29 or 30. Later on today in sunshine. So another beautiful day. Make sure you get out and enjoy it and enjoy the weekend. We're sitting at 9 degrees. Right now, 6:39, J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Marco Rossi, the Red Tilson winner, Ontario Hockey League's most valuable player, is going to join us live from his home in Austria, coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And Josh Norris, speaking of great prospects, he's already claimed by the Sens. We'll see if Marco Rossi ends up with the Sens as well. But Josh Norris will join us in the show coming up after 9. So looking forward to talking to both of those guys this morning.
Yeah, and if you're a Sens fan, Norris to Batherson to Formanton, you've already got Tkachuk here. We'll see what happens with Mr. White, Mr. Brown, a few other players. And that's not to discount even Connor Brown and some others. But, hey, let's be honest. And people start looking at, hey, where do you rank these guys if you want to win a Stanley Cup? You hit on a Rossi and a Byfield, a Rossi and a Stutzla, whatever the combination ends up being, boy, you have to legitimately look at that young core and start to say to yourself, if done properly, boy, oh boy, the Ottawa Senators, and especially with the salary cap probably coming down, could just have themselves in an incredible spot.
Any concerns at all with a potential center ice? And if you talk about, okay, so Josh Norris is, I would say he's of, he's average size.
Very much so.
Not a big kid. He's not a small. Marco Rossi, by stature, 5'9", is not that big. We all know how thick he is down below, but he's not a tall guy. And then if you look at somebody like, let's say, a Stutzla. Would you have any concerns at all if you look at your center ice going forward? You have all kinds of talent. There's no doubt about that. But three guys who aren't necessarily that large.
No, for sure I have concern. And that was talking to Pierre yesterday, kind of the combination of even... it's not quite, but I guess if we go through like recent Stanley Cup winners, if the combination of... And the Washington Capitals and Kuznetsov, you kind of rank where he's at now in comparison to Backstrom. The problem with the Washington Capitals for years is Backstrom couldn't get it done as a number one until they brought in the big body of Kuznetsov. And the way that line played with Ovechkin and Wilson, and you go through St. Louis last year, you know, not a star-studded group, but Ryan O'Reilly, you go to the Boston Bruins, and Patrice Bergeron's not a giant, but you do have Krejci, you have Coyle. So to answer your question, if you legitimately want to talk about a Stanley Cup team, I would say no. And you relate, and I'll say this as anyone that's a Montreal fan, but you can relate to this as a Calgary Flames fan. You have a very talented hockey team, but you look at that and say, could they go the distance in four rounds in the National Hockey League playoffs? No.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, they've, you know, you're talking about Calgary. Montreal, same thing, right?
God,
they've searched for center ice for, you know, for decades.
Yeah, very
crazy.
Much so.
Until they got Sean Monahan. They had nobody for 20 years, until, you know, between essentially Joe Nieuwendyk to Sean Monahan.
Yeah, I mean...
And Sean Monahan has put up good numbers.
Yeah.
Is he a number one center on a Stanley Cup winning team? I'd have to say probably not. He's great. He'd be a great number two,
but not a number one. That would be exactly what you say about Backstrom. I mean, Backstrom's disappearing act in the playoffs went so under the radar for years, and Kuznetsov. So if you were Calgary, you had that combination with Monahan, you'd be perfect. And as you said, as it relates to Craig Conroy was the stopgap guy, you know, that came over from St. Louis. And as far as Montreal, like, honestly, you go through that. When's the last time they had that legitimate big center? Like honestly, Sako Koivu was a hell of a hockey player, and they've certainly had some good players, but no, they've been searching forever, and now Kotkaniemi come in, is great the first year, and he will be fine down the road. They just have to be patient with him.
All right, so looking forward to talking to Marco Rossi in about 6 or 7 minutes from now. 6:43, speaking of things you can watch this weekend, of course, hey, the Bundesliga is back. You guys been breaking down your favorite, we had to adopt a Bundesliga team. Do you guys even know who your teams are playing?
I got a tough matchup here.
Okay. What's your team again?
Track, yeah. Frankfurt.
You don't need to say one. Just say one of the two.
No,
just choose one.
No, I chose it because it's Frank. Got two names and it's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you got the
Bayern.
Big boys.
We got Bayern.
All right, so you're taking on Alphonso Davies. Yeah. He's going to light you up. I think they're at home too, Bayern.
Yeah.
Not to get away from, because I have no idea who my team's playing. They had these stats on Alphonso Davies the other day, and I couldn't figure out whether he played well or not, because they tracked him at what, the fastest guy in the field at 38 kilometers an hour?
Oh, he was lighting them up.
And then they said he had a bunch of long something. I thought, boy, is this just activity, or is there something actually happening?
No, I think
there?
He played really well.
Oh, did he? He was flying in a couple of the highlights. So who any idea who the old Leipzig has?
They're playing somebody who I hadn't heard of. Okay. I think you got a bottom feeder.
Okay.
Hammer's team is playing the top team. My team's playing the second team, Borussia Dortmund. I got Wolfsburg.
Okay.
Had a huge win with a goal in injury time from, and I follow him on Twitter now because they're my
nice.
Bundesliga
nice.
Team. And when the guy scored in injury time, boom, and I just happened to be on Twitter at the time, I get the update right there, and it's got him. It's one of those, you know, they've got him kind of dancing, like he's like it's live, but it's not.
Okay.
And he doesn't quite look the part, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like he'd be a guy who's trying too hard, like biting his lower lip guy.
Yeah.
He was that guy.
Okay.
But anyway, he dented the old onion bag for the game winner.
And you roared.
For my Wolfsburgers.
Yeah. It's like when people try to do the Michael Jackson dance there with the old
moonwalk.
And it's like, hey, come on, man. Like, please don't. Okay.
All right.
You can't do it.
So we got some Bundesliga. We got NASCAR, which seems to race about every day now. They're, of course, playing this weekend. And, well, don't forget, it's Champions for Charity, the big golf tournament. Not tournament, but event happening on Sunday afternoon at 3:00 with Tiger and Phil and Peyton and Tom Brady. Should be really interesting. We kind of went through what the format of what's going to look like, and Phil Mickelson continues to throw the shade.
In our first match, Tiger and I clammed up the back nine, and we didn't really communicate much because we were playing for a lot of money, and it's just not natural, let's say, in the golf environment. But in football, it's very natural. Peyton is one of the best smack talkers, and the great thing about Peyton is that when he does give you a little jab, he does it in a way that's funny, that doesn't come across as an attack. And so it elicits a response that's not defensive, but actually laughter. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun, especially with Peyton.
There you go. So I think that and Peyton and Phil are playing. Hang on. No, Peyton is playing with Tiger, right? And Tom Brady is playing with Phil.
Yeah.
So you got I guess, a good smack talker on each side.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it'll work out well. Do you also not get the sense, like, I think you go into, and to me, I've always related this, is that I know, whether it be in sports or in life, the people that I can have banter with, I don't say anything back to them if they put me down or say something, because I don't know if they can take it. I'm still not sure that Tiger Woods is in that zone yet. I don't know that necessarily how he'll react to it, so we'll see. But there's no doubt when it comes to Peyton Manning, he's an absolute genius on a lot of stuff he does. And boy, Phil Mickelson has just become absolutely so lovable here the last 5 years.
Peyton and Tom, by the way, are getting three shots on the front. All right, because they're going to play what's known as better ball. All right, so everybody's going to play their own ball, and the best score of the two players will win that hole if there is somebody who wins outright. They're also going to play one of the holes on the front nine where they can only use one club. All the way through from teeing off right to putting it in the hole. So that'll be fun to watch. And then the back nine will be interesting because it's going to be alternate shot. And so and both these guys, I mean, Peyton I think is a 6.4 handicap, and Brady's an 8.1. So they're good players.
Yeah.
But again, they're doing something that's not their number one sport.
No, for sure.
And not that there's a lot of fans around to heckle you or whatever, but there's still the pressure of the TV cameras being on and millions of dollars all for charity on the line. And they're pressure tested, but not with a golf club in their hand. So it'll be fun to watch, see how they respond to that.
Yeah, and I don't know if they'll feel any pressure to their partner, or especially with the money, but hey, you don't want to be embarrassed. I mean, that is, as a pro athlete, and especially in the case of Tom Brady, that ability that so many people like you, and there's also so many people that end up hating you. And we actually related that to our, I don't know if it's been done yet, but what is now our award-winning poll question of the day, which got a lot of positive feedback yesterday. I stepped it up even better today, and it relates to the foursome at the golf. If I could take the listeners behind the scenes and explain the other day how you told Hammer and I to start doing the poll question, and it wasn't even 5:50 a.m. yesterday. You were asking me why the poll question?
No, it was a legit question. I wasn't questioning it.
I know.
Listen, don't be like that. Don't be insensitive.
No, I'm not.
To say that to my wife. There's,
when I say
something to you, yeah. does not mean I have ulterior motives behind what I'm saying.
No.
My presentation must be poor.
No, it's not. Because it was just funny because Hammer, when you told us we could do it, you said, when are you going to start second-guessing it? It's not being sensitive at all. It adds comedy to the fact of it. That's all.
All right. By the way, back to the golf. By the way, if you want to watch it, it's not going to be on TSN. I think it might automatically turn there. But it is going to be televised in Canada on Headline News. So if you're on Bell 5, for instance, it's 15:08, I think. And it might be on one of the CNN channels. And I think it's a free preview weekend as well. So in other words, you're going to have to look for it, search for it, but you should be able to find it, and it's at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. It is a long weekend in the U.S., Memorial Day weekend, but I think it'll be a fun event. I'm actually kind of looking forward to checking that out on Sunday.
Yeah, if not, watch the entire thing, at least a summary to kind of see. I think they'll show some highlights, and more interested just to see what the chemistry is between the four of them.
6:49, we'll take a break. When we come back, Marco Rossi of the 67s will join us live from Austria. That's next here on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Boulanger touches the puck at his own blue line. Moves it up through the middle of the ice. Short pass, finds Joe Gareppa. Weaves his way into the offensive zone. Rossi accepts the puck down low. Rossi goes to the back end. He scores. Oh, my goodness. What move from Marco Rossi. 4-0, 67.
Welcome back, 6:52. There's our Kenny Walls with the call, and if memory serves, I think that was Marco Rossi pulling the old Forsberg there for a goal, I believe, against North Bay. One of 39 that he would score this year, one of 120 points that he had, which leads not only the OHL but the entire Canadian Major Junior Hockey League. And yesterday, Marco Rossi was awarded the Red Tilson Trophy as the Ontario Hockey League's most valuable player. Well-deserved. Marco is actually joining us right now from his home back in Austria. How are you doing this morning, Marco?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
We're great. Thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate it. Now, hey, listen, I understand it's about, close to 1 o'clock in the afternoon where you are right now. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and you're doing two-a-days. So have you done, like, your morning workout already today? And what did you do if you've done it?
Yeah, so I just did my morning workout, and now it's fighting nap, but you guys called me, so.
So we ruined your nap. Well, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Marco, what has the training been like for you? Is anything open there? You do a little home gym? I saw the social media the other day doing a little rope outside. What's the setup like?
To be honest, for me, nothing changed. I can do the same thing what I usually do, so I'm very lucky.
So this thing you're doing with the rope, and for those that didn't see it, it looks like you've kind of tied a rope to kind of two trees or something, and then you actually jump on it and try and balance yourself. What's the whole thinking behind that thing, and who taught you that?
It's from my personal coach. It's just like a little drill about balance and about the core.
Marco, to that, as far as off-ice training, I always thought the Europeans were maybe a little ahead of North America. What was it like as far as off-ice you did with 67s and some of the stuff you're doing back home?
I wouldn't say that we're ahead. I just would say we train different than, like, the Canadians. And you just can see, like, the Canadian people, they think different about the worker than the Europeans. But both sides are really good, and, yeah.
Does a lot of that kind of in Europe, is it a little bit more soccer-based than necessarily hockey-based? How is it different?
I would say in Canada, it's like more about just like weight. And in Europe, it's more about like balance, core, sprint, and speed.
So you've been back home, and we're talking to Marco Rossi of the 67s. You've been back home essentially for the last 2 months. What's life like for you in quarantine beyond kind of working out? What are you keeping busy with?
Yeah, I have 2 workouts a day, and right now I'm doing my driver license, so I have a lot of things to do. And then, of course, the NHL meetings on Zoom, I have it, like, almost every day. So for me, it's very busy right now.
How many NHL teams have you interviewed with?
Now it's, like, 16 to 20 now.
Okay, and are they all about the same, or are they different in terms of the questions that they ask you?
It's pretty much the same.
Any good questions? Any questions you had to think about?
Yeah.
Like what?
Sometimes they're like questions you have to think about it, but yeah.
To that, Marco, we may not end up having the testing this year in the combine. So part of that's interview, part of it's physical testing. Have the teams done any physical testing? Is there anything that you can do over video with them?
No, they didn't see anything yet. And I just know that they canceled like the combine, NFL combine. So I have no idea what they're doing now.
I think you should just send them the video of you jumping on that rope and being balanced. That's pretty darn good. I'd like to see a few general managers that you're talking to try that. That would be very easy to do, right?
Have a rope off. Marco, your town that you live in is, I think, right, what, in the eastern part of Austria on the Swiss border?
Yes.
How big is the town, and what's kind of daily life like for you? Are you seeing other family members, other friends at all, or are you kind of isolated in your house?
I'm with my family, so with my parents and with my two older sisters, and yeah.
And you're enjoying it? Being honest now, be honest with us.
Yes, totally. I really enjoy it because I haven't seen my family like for that long, so it's really nice to be around them now.
All right, good stuff. So, listen, the Red Tilson Trophy, most valuable player of the Ontario Hockey League, what does that mean to you to win that on behalf of yourself and for the 67s organization?
It means a lot because when you see, like, the names who won it before, it's just, like, incredible, like, names. So, to be honest, I just don't want to look, like, too much on the winners before because it just gives me, like, pressure I don't want to give to me. So, but, yeah, it's a true honor to win that, and I'm going to be forever, like, very grateful and thankful for receiving that award.
How disappointed is it, Marco, to have the playoffs taken away from you and the opportunity to win a team championship?
It's very tough because in my first year, we won, like, in the playoffs, like, 14 games in a row, and then we lost 4 in a row in the final. And that was, like, very tough. And then coming to the new season, we just wanted to win the new season. And I think we're a really good run again, and we had, like, much more experience than in the first year, and we knew exactly what's going to expect us in the future. So, yeah, it's very disappointing that the season got canceled.
Talking to Marco Rossi from the 67s. Do you, now, we know you're going to be a high draft pick, and who knows who drafts you, what the plans are. Do you think you'll be back? You could play for another year here in Ottawa. Do you suspect you'll be back here in Ottawa, or do you think you'll be playing pro hockey somewhere next season?
It's tough to say that because it depends whoever drafts me. Like, then the team is going to tell me where I have to play, but I can't say anything right now.
Marco, to that, for your first year, it's a long grind. You end up, certainly, I'm sure, being homesick. How much easier was it this year, understanding what life in Canada is like, the whole hockey season, where you could come over and relax and enjoy it a little bit more?
Yeah, my first year helped me a lot because coming over from Europe to Canada was like everything was new to me. The language was new, the city was new, the culture was new, the hockey was different. And then coming to the second season, I just knew exactly what's going to expect me. So, yeah, my first year helped me a lot.
What do you think of Andre Tournier and kind of the 67's program? Because it feels like, as a young man, coming over for a couple of years was huge in your development.
Yeah, I think Ottawa 67's the best organization in the whole CHL. Everything is so professional. And with Andre Tournier, he was like the biggest reason why I wanted to come to Ottawa. It goes the whole coaching stuff. And so the decision to coming over to Canada wasn't much easier.
All right, good stuff. On that note, we'll let you go because I know you said you'd stayed up. We kept you from your nap, so we want you to get to your nap because you got another workout later on today, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate the time. Listen, congratulations on the award. We'll go through the Ottawa 67s players who have won this award in the past. It's a list of some really, really great guys who have gone on to long NHL careers. So you're an esteemed company. So congratulations on that. Thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again down the road sometime.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. There's Marco Rossi of the Ottawa 67s joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, brought to you by Pizza Perks at Gabriel Pizza. Download the Gabriel Pizza Perks app and sign up today. So here's the list, Simmer, of the former 67s who have won the Red Tilson.
Yeah.
Alan McCauley and Corey Locke won it twice each, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. And other winners, Peter Lee, Bobby Smith, Jim Fox, Andrew Castles, Brian Campbell. all won most valuable player in the Ontario Hockey League, former 67. So he is the eighth to do so.
Yeah, and honestly, I think you'd have to go back and look at the years. The last year of having a championship team to lose so many players like they did, for him to roll in and end up putting up the numbers that he did, lead the way, boy, oh boy, that was pretty amazing to watch. And the other part that I just absolutely love watching him play, seeing lots of junior hockey players back in the day get a ton of points off the power play and just kind of playing a one-way game. Like this guy plays such a complete game. It'll be interesting, though, as it relates to Ottawa, and we talked about, size still matters. It's not a factor like it used to be. But, boy, you look at a guy like this, how close he might be to playing in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, 5'9", 185. So yeah, that personifies thick right there. By the way, he's only the seventh Ontario Hockey Leaguer to win the Most Valuable Player Award before he was even drafted into the NHL. The others being Connor McDavid, Tyler Seguin, John Tavares, David Legwand, Eric Lindros, and back in the 70s, Jack Vallecat. So some great names in there. So you're in some pretty rare territory, what he accomplished this
year.
Yeah,
you really are. Incredible numbers, how difficult it is to come over and play in the OHL. Found his way, has turned into a real good player. And as he kind of touched on, and this is kind of the wild card, there were some rumors that he wouldn't come back to Ottawa, might play pro somewhere. 67s really have to be wondering who he's drafted by and whether or not as it pertains here to Ottawa. I would assume if he can't make Ottawa, they'd want to assign him to the Ottawa 67s and have him close by.
Yeah. All right. 7:02. We'll take a break and get the latest news from 580 CFRA and come back. Don't forget, later on this morning, Josh Norris, Sens prospect, will join us. Pierre McGuire as well. Keep the wrenches coming. Text us at 12:00, 12:00. We'll get you latest on what's going on with the NHL, the NBA, MLB, and get you set for, relatively speaking, a busy sports weekend ahead. It is a Friday morning. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio TSN 1200.